Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You're listening to Just Ask the Question, Adventures in Reporting with your host, Brian Karam.
Hi, welcome back to Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam, and with me today is Democratic strategist, a fellow nerd Avenger, an all-around good guy, and commentator on everywhere you want to see him. It's Cliff Schechter. Cliff, pleasure to have you with us.
I really appreciate it, except for the all-around good guy. I mean, there are some folks who could argue with that. They might think less of me. But good guy often. How about that?
That'll work. So we're going to talk a little bit about the coming presidential campaign. But first, of course, we got to stop and take a break, pay the bills with a couple of commercial messages. So stick around. We'll be right back.
In this modern age of misinformation and deceit, Just Ask the Questions newsletter cuts through the BS and gets to the truth with Brian's in-depth articles, columns, and exclusive content not released anywhere else. Get the scoop and stay in the know. Sign up for the Just Ask the Question newsletter now at substack.com/JATQ podcast.
Hi, we are back. It is Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam. And like I said, with me is Democratic strategist Cliff Schechter. And Cliff, I'm going to just start with, since it's Just Ask the Question, just asking the question with the news this week. And well, we start out with the news this morning that Donald Trump is on the ballot in Colorado. And according to the New York Times, recent poll is leading President Biden in the polls for the presidential race in November. Is this good news or bad news for Joe Biden?
Well, I mean, it's never good news to have somebody, you know, putting a poll up. Of course, Kristen Welker had it all over Meet the Press, and it's, you know, New York Times has pushed it. And that's because all these organizations are irresponsible at this point. And they'll, you know, if it's a poll, hey, we paid money for it, we're using it. It's good clickbait. It scares Democrats, so they watch and they listen. But it's just another one of these polls where it doesn't pass the smell test. And again, like I do this with polls that are pro-Biden too. If there's a Biden poll that showed him leading by 20 with evangelicals, I would say to people, honestly, this is crap. Well, this poll showed that since the IVF ruling and Dobbs and everything else that's happened, that women have moved something like suburban women have moved 14 points in Trump's direction. I mean, that's just crap. Right. So if you know enough about a poll and you look at the internals, and it's frankly irresponsible of them to even share this garbage. So what I look at, and the reason, overall, again, it upsets me because it shapes the narrative. Right. But what I look at is I take a look at the two most reliable things we've got: actual elections and exit polls. And if you look at those, you find two things. One, Tom Suozzi was supposed to win by 2 or 3 points. He won by 8. We weren't supposed to take back the Virginia State House in 2023. We did. There was supposed to be a red wave in 2022. No. If the Republicans hadn't gerrymandered so badly and the Supreme Court hadn't let them get away with it, they would have actually even lost the House in 2022. We gained a seat in the Senate, and I can go on. We destroyed them in all sorts of key states, owned them in places like Michigan and Arizona, right? So, it really frustrates me to no end because I'm not a Pollyannish type who's like, oh, everything's okay. There are challenges. Trump is much closer than he should be. I'm not claiming, oh my God, this is in the bag. But what I do see is, and you will see this in exit polls and results, each election, it seems like we go through in the Republican primaries, more and more Nikki Haley voters are telling you they will never vote for Donald Trump. Never.
But will they vote for Joe Biden or will they stay home?
Well, that's a great question. Some have said they'll vote for Biden. Some have said they'll stay home. I assume a certain number of them are just angry and will go back to Trump. But even if it's a significant enough portion, who don't vote for Trump. These are people that did vote for Trump in the past. This is a net negative for him. And if they're people that vote for Biden, it's a net negative too for him. So I think, you know, this is what I'm paying attention to, is the fact that, is Biden in great shape? No. Do we have a media that absolutely, and again, this is where I'm glad to be on this show, because you've been one of the ones I've always had to single out for when all these other people would sit on their hands in the White House and, you know, probably sitting there playing Space Invaders or something on their phone. And you were asking Trump questions even when it was inconvenient for him. And by the way, you would do that of any president because you're an actual reporter. We have
God
some
bless
of those
you. Thank
out
you.
There. Will Bunch is a terrific journalist. Rex Hubke is a terrific journalist. Like I can name, you know, they exist. But sadly these days, compared to the careerists and those who just go along to get along and those who are married to this both sides garbage, instead of telling the truth without fear or favor, which is what it's supposed to be.
Right.
They sit there and they try, well, you know, Trump just got up and riffed for a while and now he's going to let Russia attack NATO. And Joe Biden got that one name wrong. So he's really old. I mean, those things make me nervous. They keep the race artificially close. But what's clear to me is what I'm seeing in these Republican primaries and elsewhere, I'm seeing it anecdotally here in Cincinnati, and what used to be a swing state certainly is a lean Republican, but still swing state. We still come close and have won, and Sherrod Brown's our senator up for re-election and the rest. I have actual Republican friends, believe it or not, and there's a whole bunch of them who are absolutely done with Trump, and some of them fall into that, I'm voting for Biden, and some of them just can't bring themselves to because they're voting for, so they're voting for nobody. But even voting for nobody from people who voted for Trump in the past is a win.
Yeah.
So that is what I would say.
Well, let me a couple of things that you say bring a couple of things to mind. First of all, Biden is old, but so is Donald Trump.
Sure.
And when I get, when people go, he's not really old. I say, well, unless he lives to be 170, he's certainly not. He's the definition. Pardon?
Can I curse on here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He's fucking old.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't deny that for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah. So the other thing is when they talk about, you know, dementia, I've been around Dementia Donald, and of the two, I definitely can tell you that if there's a problem with dementia, it isn't from Biden. But
yes.
Here's the thing. And when I look at the race, even if you discount all the stuff in the polls, it seems to me that it's far closer than it really should be.
Yes.
And the problem is, as I see it, is that this administration is perhaps one of the worst I've ever worked with when it comes to communicating. They simply don't communicate very well with the American people. Now, as a strategist, I guess I got to ask you, do you agree or disagree? But secondly, I mean, he hasn't had any press briefings. He doesn't come to the briefing room. His interactions with the press are ineffective and few and far between. And when he has a chance to really score a point, like they could have really scored some points with his physical, but they kept it from being broadcast. We didn't even know about it until after it happened, almost, or right before it happened. And so instead of the run up, like Donald Trump would come out, and it didn't matter what the truth was. Donald Trump, when I looked at, you know, that packet that he gave us after Donald Trump's one physical, and it was obvious, I was standing next to Dr. Sanjay Gupta, and we were looking together, and he goes, "Well, he's got
the that guy." Was it pill popping Ronnie Jackson? Or was
yeah,
it
that's
cool,
the one where. But
cool
see,
guy
that,
with the long
that's,
hair.
That's my point. I mean, we looked at the handout, and it's obvious that Donald Trump has, you know, heart disease. It was obvious that he's overweight.
Yeah,
it's obvious
that.
He has problems. But no one reported on that. They reported on Dr. Ronnie coming out and going 200 years. He's going to live to be 200 years old. So that was the narrative, no matter what the facts were. I don't find this president who has the facts at his disposal in his favor using them very effectively. Agree or disagree?
Mostly agree.
Yeah.
Let me disclose to begin with, I wrote ads for Biden in 2020. So worth sharing that with everybody.
You better write better ones in 2024.
Well, there you go. They lost me. I'm not working for them now. So I will give you as best my unvarnished, unbiased. I mean, yeah, I let you know that obviously I'm a Democrat. I support Biden and I think Trump's an existential threat to democracy. Sure.
You don't have to be a Democrat to recognize that.
Well, that's fair. I mean, Liz Cheney is no Democrat. She recognizes it. So,
yeah.
But here's what I would say. First of all, and you have such knowledge of this, having been, you know, in that room and whatever, that I'm happy for you to disagree with me on this.
Sure.
My view of it has been that this is a longstanding Democratic problem. Okay. I call this the Reagan crouch, which is in the 1980s, after 40, 50, 60 years of Democrats being on offense and being the popular ones, they suddenly elected this charismatic actor. And yes, taxes had gotten to a point where they were at higher than people wanted them. And there were other issues going on. And Reagan had popular issues. People liked his personality. And you have this older set of leaders who are still stuck thinking we're in that period of time. That there's this conservatism with a smile instead of the conservatism with a snarl of Trump threatening to put people in camps and threatening to prosecute people and all that. And they don't fight. So the Biden people, I found, when it comes to communicating personally with the press, not good. Their online team and some of those folks are much better. And again, obviously the age has changed, but much better than Obama's and much better than Clinton's, because they realize they have to be on offense. They highlight, you're on Twitter, the dementia episodes. They highlight when Nikki Haley criticizes him. That part of their operation is really good. And it leaked, and I loved it leaked. You probably heard this, who was a CNN reporter who actually read on air, where she said the Biden, I think MJ Lee was like, the Biden people have said they're going to spend more time sharing all the crazy shit Donald Trump says. I guess she meant to not say that word or whatever, but it was hilarious. And
well, it is crazy shit, but I want to see the president do it. I mean, you're voting for the president. And at the end of the day, when you don't see him, Donald Trump will take whatever oxygen there is in the room.
Absolutely.
So if you give him the room to talk, he will. And he's using all of his trials, everything, every chance he gets, he's out there talking about, you know, the deep state. Now, it's a bunch of shit, and he believes that he has unlimited immunity. Well, if you have unlimited immunity, how is it that the Republicans in the House can investigate Joe Biden? Because if he has unlimited immunity, you can't.
The thing they do is consistent. So,
yeah. So, but my point is, in all of it, is to push, you know, my view of it is not since James Carville was the last. I'll go back to Clinton. It was Carville who said, you know, we're right, they're wrong. And he pushed hard, but he also said something that was very true. Democrats will snatch defeat out of the wings of victory every time.
And I couldn't agree more.
But if you go back to Reagan, I find Reagan and Mitch McConnell are the two architects of the Republican Party today. It was Ronald Reagan who set this all up. He's the one who embraced the evangelicals. He's the one who embraced the far right.
Sold a fake economic theory that put us massively in debt. Yep.
40 years of Reaganomics has destroyed the economy of the United States. I don't find us being a first world nation anymore,
other than through
our military.
Spend on the things that first world nations spend on. I mean, Biden got, you know, to his credit, legislatively got that infrastructure bill through with McConnell. And I can tell you, living here, you know, in Cincinnati, McConnell certainly had a lot of motivation, because there were two bridges between here and your old state, Northern Kentucky, where literally pieces of them were falling off, and nobody wanted to pay for them. And that, I mean, if just simple economics tells you that hurts productivity, that by passing an infrastructure bill, you create jobs. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce was behind it, but you've got these new Republicans who are now these faux populist, you know, almost Nazis. And in some cases it could be applied. And
no, I find them to be fascists. Absolutely. Yeah.
They don't care about the Chamber of Commerce, and they don't care about that kind of stuff. My answer to you is,
or education,
or anything,
or healthcare, or
right. It's like that scene from The Life of Brian, right? Like where they're sitting there like, what have the Romans done for us lately? Well, healthcare and education, the aqueducts, except for the opposite. What has Trump not done for us? Well, healthcare, education, you know. But my point to you is just simply that I look at stuff compared to where we were. And I don't know, Biden may be worse at this because, I mean, Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were two of the most gifted orators and interpersonally of any presidents of the last 100 years. But I think that has something to do with Biden's age. And again, I'm not saying my take on Biden's age is absolutely, I would rather have a 50-something even a 60-something or a 40-something. Gen X and millennials are the ones leading the charge. They're ready to take over. And frankly, when you ask this question about Biden, I would rather have him out there doing it. But I am thankful, and this is one of the things I most highlight on my YouTube channel, are the Dems who are driving the message. I mean, Gavin Newsom had this great soundbite where in an interview, where he said, we should be on offense. We should be driving the conversation. We should be hitting back hard. We should be going after them. And you see Eric Swalwell doing that. You see Jasmine Crockett doing that. You see Gretchen Whitmer doing that. It's starting to change the culture of our party. But the problem is that culture of our party that's changing are mostly those like who are my age or younger, who remember Reagan from when they were 11 years old or 12 years old or maybe even 15, but weren't in politics. And it just seems like that older generation has never been able to get out of the Reagan crouch, being scared of Republicans. Oh, mean Republicans. So I'm hoping, because I'm seeing this, every time Ted Lieu rips the crap out of them, right? Every time, Richie Torres does, every time, what's her name? It was terrific. Plaskett. She can't even vote in the damn house because she's from the U.S. Virgin Islands. She should be able to, but that's another story. I mean, we do have these folks there, and they are starting to drive the message. And I think that's part of what has influenced Biden to hit harder online and in other places. And I'm hoping it influences him to do more directly with the media. That would be my answer to you on that, is that we're far from perfect. They are still, as they lie about everything. They understand propaganda. They understand repetition. They understand you have to drive the message constantly. But we are finally, we have at least some people in our party. I mean, Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, 40 whatever million people, the fifth or sixth biggest economy in the world, has a pretty large mic. And I really appreciate he's been using it to point these things out.
And with that thought, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what you think can be done to fix the media. So stick around. We'll be right back.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, Just Ask the Question podcast listeners. If you've got a second, head on over to Twitter and follow our official page, JATQ Podcast. That's JATQ Podcast.
In this modern age of misinformation and deceit, Just Ask the Questions newsletter cuts through the BS and gets to the truth with Brian's in-depth articles, columns, and exclusive content not found anywhere else. Get the scoop and stay in the know. Sign up for the Just Ask the Question newsletter now at substack.com/JATQ podcast.
Hi, we are back. It is Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Kerman. With me is Democratic strategist Cliff Schechter. And Cliff, we were talking about the problems with the Biden administration before we left, and how they can battle the Republican false flags. But what's the media got to do? Where do we need to change? In your opinion, you've taken a look at it. I'm inside that bubble. You're outside. What are we doing wrong, and what can we fix?
Well, I'm not trying to turn this into the compliment Brian Kerem show, but
I appreciate that. I haven't paid you for it, but I'll take it.
You should pay me. Greg Sargent isn't doing anything wrong. Jim Acosta wasn't. That's probably why they got rid of him. There have been a bunch of people that have courageously stood up. John Harwood, who have just said, especially in these times, both sides doesn't work. We need to tell people what's going on. But overall, I can think of really overall two things. And one of them is controversial and you may strongly disagree. But one is, and this isn't controversial, I think that we need to have a lot more media like ProPublica. We need to fund nonprofit media that does not have to worry, because again, go back and watch. I've done some criticisms again on my channel of media, and I showed a few scenes, for example, from the movie Network. Because it's so predicted, the age.
I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, it did. But there was even like a less heralded scene where Robert Duvall is talking with, what's her name?
Faye Dunaway?
I'm sorry?
Faye Dunaway.
Yes, with Faye Dunaway. And he says she wants to put, you know, this guy mad as hell on TV. And he's like, we're not putting him on TV. That would be irresponsible of us. This isn't just about ratings. And I put that up just to show people, like, there was a time when just tradition and just sort of your peer group looking at you and saying, is there something wrong with you? Why would you put that person on TV? Dictated that we didn't do what Fox News, as the worst example, has done. And but many other news stations. And to me at this point, because they're so profit driven and they're not about what they, I think you need to add a lot. I would create a budget for nonprofit media, particularly local media, in a lot of these news deserts where we don't have any, and all they're getting is the crazy right-wing talk radio guy and the Sinclair television station. That's one thing I would do. The second thing, and again, this is much more controversial, but you know, I can't come to any other conclusion here, is, and I don't see this changing anytime soon, our free speech laws are too broad. I've compared us, well, we've determined, right, in our democracy, there are certain things that are that we allow free speech, but there are certain things that are too dangerous. And you can agree or disagree with that. One would be, if I were to threaten the president's life right now, the Secret Service would come arrest me. That is illegal. I am not allowed to do that. That's not free speech. I am not allowed to libel people, although we've got very, compared to other places, loose laws, and I'll talk about that. I am also not allowed, sorry, losing my train of thought for a second here, but you know, what you're not allowed to do in a number of these other countries, for example, is you're not allowed to share what they consider to be harmful to people, to that disinformation.
See, I don't think that changes our First Amendment. And I find that our First Amendment is pretty damn good, because what it does, my profession is the only protected profession in the Constitution, free speech, and free press. And by the way, free religion, but no state religion. So sorry, evangelicals,
sorry, we're Mike not Flint, a Christian nation. Sorry, Mike Flint was saying that we need to all be Christian the other day.
But what I think you're pointing to, what could be done is there should be a far greater, and it has to be from this side of the aisle. There has to be a rededication to the idea of publishing vetted factual information.
Correct.
And that you're not going to get unless you break up media monopolies. But go ahead. I interrupted.
So that was another part of it, which is, you know, I was looking back at, I think it was in the late 80s. We had 60-something media companies, and people then were saying, oh, my God, we've allowed too much concentration. We now have five. That's
six.
Ridiculous.
Of them that dictate 95% of what you see, read, or hear. When I first got into the business, it was 20 or 30 that had about 80% of what you see, read, or hear.
So first of all, we need a rededication to the ghost of Teddy Roosevelt.
And God bless you. I agree.
Media. It's. I mean, obviously, it's every industry. I mean, we all get worse service. We pay more. You know, we deal with all this because we don't have any competition, because we've allowed that. Again, you bring up Reagan. That was the moment when they took this little line out of the University of Chicago, right-wing thinkers on economics, about efficiency being more the most important thing, and monopolies would be more efficient, which they're not, by the way, because you have a monopoly. There's no motivation for you to have to actually do anything right or take care of anybody, because they got nowhere else to go. But
exactly.
So maybe I should say I have three ideas, right? Nonprofit media, we need to break the hell up out of these places and get back to 60 at least media stations. And the third thing I would say along those lines is, free speech is one thing, but we have laws. You cannot share, a great example is you can't share child porn. I support that. That is not kids in the act of anything. It's just naked kids. We've determined that's too dangerous, and that's not acceptable as free speech. To me, if you share disinformation to get somebody to not vaccinate themselves and die, how is that not dangerous? If you share disinformation that makes somebody think that somebody's coming to their house to get their guns, and so they shoot police officers, we've got plenty of examples. What I'm saying is we hold nobody responsible for this stuff. Let me give you the best example. Okay?
Well, we have laws on the books. We don't use them or enforce them.
Okay, that's fair too. We don't. It's hard for people to remember, but this one maybe stands out because we have so many shootings. But the mass shooting that took place by that racist, vicious, you know, great liberal replacement motherfucker, who drove up to the Buffalo market and started shooting African Americans. Okay. Well, he was encouraged by all sorts of people online to do it. Go do it. Go shoot some people. You know, this, and I mean, constantly in the radical circles he was. Out of that mass murder, I'm aware of only two arrests. Him, the murderer, and a young man in the United Kingdom. Because in the United Kingdom, to encourage somebody to go and commit acts of murder is not free speech. It is actually, especially if you did it repetitively.
And it's not here either. We just don't prosecute them.
Okay, so we don't prosecute it, but we need to. So he got 12 years over there for doing that. What message does that send to the other radical right-wingers? In France, there was a...
Let's stay here for a second. Because you've got an excellent point. But look, here's the thing. We in this country, and I've been pilloried from the far right for saying this, but it's a fact. We average this year so far one mass shooting every day, more or less. And so you take that in consideration with the fact that recently in court, they are now holding parents accountable for mass shootings in a couple of cases. That can be extended. It's not legal in this country, and it's no part of free speech, never been a part of free speech, to encourage harm to others. That is on the books. That's here.
But we allow a lot of libel and slander. I mean, when Republicans say, another example, right? 2000, when Republicans say that we're committing having abortions at the eighth month, ninth month, once.
No, they're saying after birth.
That was my last one. After the baby is born, they're saying you're committing infanticide. That they're accusing you of committing infanticide. Ted Cruz said that from the stage of a Republican debate. Donald Trump is now saying, right. And what happened? And when they did this in 2016, a guy with all sorts of mental, severe emotional problems got a hold of guns because it's so easy in this country in Colorado Springs, walked into a Planned Parenthood and started shooting. Ted Cruz should have been held responsible. The guy was muttering baby parts to himself, which is exactly what Ted Cruz said on stage. I saw this video with baby parts and whatever. So in any of these other countries, France, Germany, if you even show a Nazi symbol, you will be arrested. It's not allowed. They have free speech, but they have determined there is an area of free speech, that there's an area of propaganda, not free speech, not news. Propaganda isn't news. Lying and disinformation is not free speech. They've determined these are separate things. You have free speech. I could say any dumb thing I want to you, Brian, while we're walking down the street. But if I go online and I start sharing all sorts of lies about things, and also getting people to commit acts either of suicide by not getting vaccinated or going out shooting somebody else, I would be prosecuted in any of these countries that we just talked about.
You can be here. I don't think you change. Look, there's three things not protected by free speech. Well, obscenity, child pornography, defamatory speech. You're talking about defamatory speech. False advertising. You're talking about that. True threats. You're talking about that. And fighting words. None of those are protected by free speech. We do not prosecute politicians for doing it. And that's the problem in this country.
Culture.
And here's the other thing. This is where it's on us to do better as reporters. But there are more than almost three times the number of people on this planet is on the day that I was born. And there's a quarter of the number of reporters. If you do, it was Ben Bagdikian of the Washington Post who said, if you want diversity of thought, you have to have diversity of ownership. With
Absolutely.
Six companies running 95% of what you see, read, or hear, there's probably, 120 tops people on those six
there's
boards?
There's not only lack of diversity. Go ahead.
But it's not just lack of diversity. Don't tell me there's a liberal bias in the media. Those 120 people sitting on those six boards are not you're not your average American. They are the richest of the rich. And that takes me to the one thing. When you're talking about network, I thought you were going to talk about the one speech. There was another speech in network that I find just.
I know what you're going to say.
Ned Beatty.
There aren't countries anymore.
There's one holistic system of systems, one vast, interwoven, interacting, multi-dimensional dominion of dollars.
I've used that clip.
Petrodollars. It's the international system of currency. That's the problem. It's profit. All of this is about money.
Yes. So I agree with you 100%. Because the problem is that what I think Network was showing a couple of different facets of it. One of it was, of course, the Ned Beatty character and that amazing speech. And it is all about money now. The Duvall character was more about the fact that there was a time, a simpler time, and you just can't close that Pandora's box when news people took pride in themselves that they wouldn't go and do certain, just like politicians. There's a time when politicians took pride in themselves. It wasn't even that long ago with some of these crappy guys. And don't get me wrong. I go back to Reagan, McConnell. I go back to Pat Robertson and Falwell. So I'm not saying Trump caused all of this, but it led up to him. But he made it a lot worse by showing these politicians what they could say, how horrible they could be, and get away with it in a way.
He's a symptom. You're right. Yes. And he spread the disease. But if you want to go back to how far we've been fighting this, H.L. Mencken in the 1920s said it used to be pride in a job well done that drove journalists. Now their recompense is money. They got a higher, you know, grade of pants. They got a new belt, and all of a sudden they're in the in crowd. So that was in the 1920s,
which is you can go back to almost any time. It's always the frog boiling theory, which people only use for fascism, but they really could use for cultural change in general. When things go from a place where they're good to a place where we are now, to completely different place, it doesn't just go like that. H.L. Mencken may have started to see it happening, and then it happened a little more, and then a little more, and people didn't notice. And then the 80s, we became such consumerists and about what you owned, and it got a little worse, and corporations bought stuff up, and it just kept going to where we got to this slow decline to where we are today, to where I had to watch. I was tweeted it out yesterday. I love my mom. She's fantastic. I was in Florida visiting her, and for the first time in, I think, 15 years, I agreed with her because she wanted me to spend time with her before I left to sit there while she watched Meet the Press. And it is such utter garbage. It is such warmed over, repeated, stupid conventional wisdom. They shared that New York Times poll without sharing the internals that were screwed up, without sharing us another poll that came out that showed Biden up one, which I'm sure is also screwed up. But if you're going to share one screwed up poll, you might as well share another screwed up poll in the other direction or share neither of them. It was such a stupid conversation.
If we're going to be responsible reporters, we don't need to talk about polls.
Yes.
We need to talk about the issues. I'm tired of hearing your made up numbers, because I can generate a poll to say anything that I want. We're not baseball commentators. We should be doing, you know, who exposed McCarthy? Oh, was it the press? Yes. Right. But are we doing that today? No. And the biggest problem is this is a part of corporate media. When I first walked into that White House press room, it was Helen Thomas who said, "Brian, I want you to, you know, to," she introduced me, and then she introduced me to Sam Donaldson. And Sam said, "Brian, I want you to look at the first row in this is the Brady briefing room before they called it the Brady briefing room." He said, "Look at that first row in the briefing room, seven seats. There's 200 years of experience in there. Learn from all of them. Today, if you're lucky, what? 35
like
to 50
Steve
years
Ducey's
experience.
Kid and somebody from Newsmax and who the hell knows?"
Well, that first row is supposed to be, other than Jeff Mason, who has a lot of experience, there's no one on that first row that has any experience.
I don't know who's in the first row. I just was making more of a joke about the fact of some of the people in that room that, I mean, they're not reporters in any sense.
That's always been kind of the case, too. There was a guy back during a, I think it was Reagan and the
I
first.
I remember that crazy guy that would yell stuff out and go, like, what was his name? And go on
he was a former defrocked minister, and he always asked about Bigfoot and other kinds of crap.
But having one funny guy there is different than having half the room be filled with people that should in no way or shape.
Well, that's because there's no one of any experience. They come in fresh out of college, and they think they're part of the in crowd. And that's why you have all the access journalism, is because it's overwhelming, the power. You have to have some experience to understand that you're fighting against that. That no matter, even if I like the guy, I mean, it was, you know, Sam once told me, he said, "Brian, if I'm doing my job right, you won't know who I voted for, because I'm going to give everyone equal amounts of shit." Now, some people deserve more criticism than others, but the questions will start out the same place.
Well,
answers.
Look, if the Democratic Party is, to pick a number, doing 98.6% of the bad shit, then the Democratic Party should be covered badly 98.6% of the time. and vice versa, which is without fear or favor. I don't care what party you're in. I don't care what religion you are.
We don't do that.
Gender you are. I don't give a shit about anything. If you are breaking the law, if you are corrupt, if you are sharing disinformation that's getting people killed, if you're doing this stuff, we're going to destroy you. Instead, Kristen Welker has a seat open for you on the next show. I'm picking on her because that show's so influential and she's the worst. But she's far from the only one, and you know this. There's numerous ones, even on so-called liberal stations like MSNBC. You got people like Katie Turr sitting there and others that are just a joke. And they allow right-wing propaganda to be spread across their network. They jump onto it. So again, you know, to go back, maybe we got into a disorganized mess. But that's why more nonprofit media, breaking up conglomerates and holding people really, I mean, Dominion held Fox responsible. Did you see what, can I say just quickly, do I have time?
Yeah, one last before we go to break.
One last, you see what happened with Newsmax after they got that massive lawsuit when Trump was lying on their station and saying the election was stolen? They corrected him on the station, said, no, it was not stolen, because they were going to get in trouble. Hold people accountable, you'll get the news to actually tell the truth.
Yeah, what a concept. With that thought, we're going to take another short break. We'll be right back for some final.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Thoughts?
Hey, you. Yeah, you. We're talking to you, and we need your help. As you probably know, independent journalism is a vital pillar of our democracy. Like everything else, it's not free. We're asking all longtime listeners of the show to help support us by becoming a member on Patreon. For the price of a latte, you can help guard democracy. Join us today at patreon.com/JATQ podcast. To help us keep bringing you the podcast you love and the facts you deserve.
Hi, we are back. It is Just Ask the Question. I am your host, Brian Karam, and I have been having a very enjoyable conversation with Democratic strategist Cliff Schechter.
With you, Brian. When you coming down to back home to Kentucky so we could do the Bourbon Trail together?
Oh, my God. Well, anytime.
Since I've lived in this region, I always had a taste for tequila, which I can't explain. I just did. I grew up in New York. But bourbon? Right. So I picked that up. I got the best stuff. You got to come in. We got to drink some bourbon.
What kind of bourbon?
I think Jefferson Reserve is my favorite.
Okay.
But I got some Poppy. Even though
Pappy Van Winkle is good, but I like Basil Hayden and the Wild Turkey. I'll even if I'm going cheap, Jim Beam, and then Woodford Reserve, and of course Maker's Mark. So I'll do anything as long as it's not Jack Daniel's, which is just Tennessee piss water.
That's not really bourbon.
That's not bourbon. Sorry. So
sour mash bourbon ain't bourbon.
Yeah. What I want to do is I want to end this on the looking forward to the future. Do you have hope for the future? If not, you know, I do, but I'd like to know what your thoughts are for the future and where do you think we go and how do we get to where we should be?
So I have hope for the future for a couple of reasons. One is the fact that we've been here before numerous times in American history and we found a corrective. It seems to happen every 70 to 100 years, but clearly, you know, between the 1840s and 1860s, with John Calhoun, who from nullification up through, you know, an actual civil war, and we were able to come back together. Certainly with segregation, don't get me wrong, it was far, far from a good thing, but it kept the American tradition moving forward. The 1930s, there were a whole bunch of businessmen that wanted to throw FDR out. There was even a famous plot that's come out to do it. Smedley Butler, Everybody should read about it. And
yes,
in the end, FDR was able to get the majorities. Well, that's why my hope is, and this is on us, it's on the Biden people to be as aggressive as they are online, offline. It's on the rest of us, these new Democrats, to keep preaching. It's on the rest of us to tell people what's going on, which is the solutions are so simple, but we just, it's like this brick wall. The Republicans actually, The Republicans did build a wall to block the Senate and other places from doing it. Yet if everybody gets out and votes like their life depends on it, I'm telling you, we've seen an 8-point drop for Trump after the Dobbs decision, or not Trump, for Republicans on average. We've seen look, I will take any win for Biden. But the biggest thing we need is a reset. And a reset comes with a huge ass kicking. I'm talking about winning the House back. I'm talking about knocking Rick Scott in Florida and Ted Cruz in Texas, who are both very unpopular and usually win their elections by 1 to 2 points, out of the Senate and holding the Senate, and to a point where we have enough senators to change the rules. We control the House, get rid of the goddamn filibuster. And then we honestly, all these things you and I are talking about, helping fix media, helping fix gun laws, helping fix abortion laws, that's all right there to do if they can't filibuster it. And that is why I do have a lot of hope that we will pull this off, and then we will once again correct ourselves and move back. You know, and if MAGA, last thing, if they get crushed, if Trump loses, imagine if Trump, Rick Scott, Ted Cruz, a bunch of other bigwigs in the House, you know, people that lost their seats, losing is the only thing they understand to make them change. That might actually empower some of the more reasonable forces in the party to try to take the Republican Party back. That's the only thing that will do it. A simple Biden win with not much else changing doesn't do it. An ass kicking. So there you go.
Kick their ass this fall. Get out and vote. I urge that everyone. Thanks for joining us, Cliff. I got to have you back, because the one thing I want to talk about coming up is election security. All these people losing, what's to keep them from saying it was a put up job and encouraging violence? But hold that thought. I want to end on a good note, and that's hope.
Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Thanks. And where can we plug whatever you want to plug?
Yeah. The fastest growing thing where my commentaries are on YouTube. Just go to @CSchecter, CSCHECTER. Soon it will be called Cliff's Edge. We're doing a rebrand right now, but @CSchecter for now is the best place, and @CliffSchecter on Twitter.
There you go. And this is Just Ask the Question. Join us every week with a new guest. And on Sunday, for our Sunday Week in Review wrap up, with former federal prosecutor Michael Zeldin and editor at large from CQ Roll Call John Bennett, as we go through the week's news. And that's called Just Ask the Press. So thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.